Now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green's World, a fun and informative green talk radio show that features guests from all over the country who talk about how living green can improve your lifestyle and be fun. Visit Mrs. Green's website, www.mrsgreensworld.com, for more information about her guests.
Hey, everybody. Happy Saturday. Welcome to Mrs. Green's World. You have indeed tuned in to News Talk 790 KNST. Happy Earth Month. This is going to be an informative, exciting show today. Indeed, time will fly because we'll be having fun. Our first guest that we will interview is Janelle Lupiani, and she is the nutritionist at Miraval. There's been a lot in the news about Miraval this week because, you know, Oprah has the magic of making places famous and putting the spotlight on wonderful, wonderful things, and I, of course, agree with Oprah that Miraval is one of them. It's a magical place, and it is about living life in balance. And then after we interview Janelle, we're going to interview Lisa Frack from the Environmental Working Group in Washington, D.C., and Lisa is a nationally recognized environmental blogger, and she talks about home healthy home tips, the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15, which are among my favorite things to write about in terms of healthy vegetables and not so healthy. And if you want information on any of this, please visit my website at mrsgreensworld.com. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter, and you will find out what's happening in the world of sustainability on a global scale every single day. And this show today is sponsored by Tucson Electric Power Company. They have unbelievable green initiatives coming out in the next couple of weeks that Mrs. Green is going to be a part of spreading the word. So let's remember to check out TEP.com because the green home initiatives are helping to shift the planet in a way that needs to be shifted in a hurry. We need to fast forward on that one. So I have one shout out that I'd like to do today for one of our sponsors, and it's the Environmental Development Group. And I don't know if you were tuned in this week to what's happening with gas prices, but it's pretty, I would say the word for me is pretty upsetting because it has such an impact on the economics for people that are working for $8 an hour and they're going to be spending $6 a gallon on gas. So I encourage you, for your sake and the sake of the planet, start looking into alternative fuels. You can look at my website. Many of my partners can help you with that. You've heard from Colleen Crowninshield from Clean Cities a lot. You know that Chapman has lots of alt fuel vehicles. So EDG literally helps you turn your cooking oil into fuel, alternative fuel that can be used in your vehicles. And you cannot just go out there and put French fry grease in your car. I know that. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but in some cases, not that much more complicated. So if you are not in Tucson and you're listening, EDG has many, many sites throughout the country, and Clean Cities is a national project, and I'm sure Clean Cities Tucson would help you connect with your Clean Cities programs throughout the country. But be proactive, because driving will soon be much more of a financial challenge, not just an environmental challenge. So let's get our green on, and for more information, info at Mrs. Green's World, we always want to help. And then another short one, which is kind of connected to Janelle and Miraval, is the winner of the What Are You Doing to Celebrate Earth Month yesterday is Andrea Foster. And Andrea used to work at Miraval. She's on her way to Boston. She got there yesterday for an exciting new job, and she'll be taking her commitment to the environment with her. And her entry is on my website on the contest page, and it's worth it to check it out because she's doing a lot. So let's get on to the really, really exciting part. Janelle Lupiani is Miraval's nutritionist and has an incredible background in weight management and the integration of nutrition and disease prevention. And that is one of my, you know, from my heart. I so believe that we are what we eat, and we are certainly a diseased society. This is a good news show. So Janelle, is that like, I'm like, okay, you're supposed to have green be fun and exciting, but at the bottom of it, the motivation for me is good health for people and therefore good health for the planet. So let's talk a little bit about some of your Fab Five things to talk about as a nutritionist, like at the market and in the kitchen and, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you for the great introduction. Some of my favorite things to talk about here at Miraval is the anti-inflammatory diet recommendations that we here in the Integrative Wellness Program believe in. So I don't educate just on foods not to eat, but encouraging people to eat those great foods that have been found to be anti-inflammatory. I'm always speaking on that, and I provide a lecture on that. Also reminding...
And give us a couple of examples of those foods that you say the good foods to eat.
Plant-based diet, first and foremost. Eat more plants. So if we want to get about 45% of our energy needs every day from carbohydrates, they should come from fruits and vegetables. And I never put any fruit or vegetable on a higher pedestal than another. I think they're all great, and they're all equally good to me. And I recommend just getting more of those. And then a great tip I like to provide in terms of getting more phytonutrients is these little chemicals inside of food that help prevent disease. Phytonutrients also give plants their color. So if you can get as big a swath of color as possible, the more chances of getting all those phytonutrients in your body every day.
So I'm getting a visual here. You're talking about fresh spinach and then putting some yellow and red peppers in and maybe some, I don't know, I don't like to talk about kale because kale is probably not ever going to make my top list. But,
oh, too bad. It's in season right now.
It's at all the farmer's markets, and I'm like, okay, kale, not so much yet. It's a journey.
What about a raw massage kale salad with salt?
When I'm out there at Miraval, can you, like, cook me up one?
Oh, it's a date. You got it.
It's a date. Okay, we'll be out there again in August, if not before. But okay, and I think it is preparation. My friend Amy Sue Oldfather, she said, Gina, it's all about the preparation, and it hasn't been prepared for you right. So,
yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, as far as fruits and vegetables, well, I think we have this perception that they consume so much of our time and it's such a commitment to of our important resource time to prepare them. But really, you know, in less than 5 minutes, you can make a dynamite salad quicker it is than going through the fast food, you know.
Totally.
Line.
It's totally. Really, and put on, drizzle some balsamic vinegar. I mean, I totally agree with that one. So anti-inflammatory. What about one of my favorite things to talk about is I'm very, very concerned about the meat that people consume. And I think that more emphasis has to be put on free range, all natural, hormone free, organic, all that means. I think we're being fed a lot of things that research and science has proven they're just not good for human beings. So what is your spin on that, Janelle?
I agree with you. And I think first and foremost, we need to recognize that our consumption of land animals overall should probably decrease, whether it be their organic, USDA processed, verified, or conventionally raised. Weekly consumption and finding more alternatives, whether it be from the sea, making sure that those are sustainable, or plant-based proteins. And then when we choose to do beef, poultry, eggs, those animals from the land, we do need to be more aware. And I think relying on labels like USDA organic and USDA process verified, understanding what those labels mean and trusting them as a good source to be sure that you're doing something good for the planet and your body as well.
And, you know, it's so easy now to do that because almost everybody on the planet has a computer or a smartphone and they can find it out. Janelle, we're out of time.
Oh.
I know. It flew. That was like 6 minutes. So
yeah,
let's make a date to have you back on Mrs. Green's World. There are so many more things. I'll arrange it with the Miraval staff because we have barely scratched the surface. We'll be right back. Lisa Frack, Environmental Working Group, who will be a perfect segue to this segment. Please stay here with me. We'll be right back. Mrs. Green's World, News Talk 790 KNST.
790KNST.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green's World, News Talk 790 KNST, where time is already flying. Our first guest this afternoon was Janelle Lupiani from Miraval. She's their head nutritionist. She actually told me she was going to talk a little bit about the Environmental Working Group. And up right now is our guest, Lisa Frack from the Environmental in Washington, D.C. Welcome very, very much, Lisa. Thanks for tuning in.
Oh, you're welcome. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, I will tell you this, a little entree for me, a little background is, you know, I'm a social media environmentalist, and I do blogs, Facebook, Twitter. I have the radio show. I'm on another radio show here. I do a lot of public speaking. And I would say of my top three sources of information, EWG is it, because if it's been written about in terms of health and the environment, I can usually find a thread there to get me to what I need to know, because there's always something to blog about.
Great. It's always good to hear when our research is getting out there and being useful.
And I think it's really getting out there. The Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15 are one of the top of mind lists. I distribute it frequently. I make links to it frequently. But let's do a little bit of background for people who might not be aware of what EWG is and how it got started and the big vision of what an impact this powerful group can have and is having in terms of legislation.
Absolutely. I have been with the Environmental Working Group only 3 years in its history. It was founded in 1993, so I've come in at the tag end, but I'm familiar with sort of what has come before that. In 1993, two men, Ken Cook and Richard Wiles, put their heads together and created the organization. They both came with a background in agricultural policy, and that's sort of where we started. Was one thing we're known for is our farm subsidy database, and it's not necessarily something that a lot of our fans know about. We work on a variety of subjects, so those of us who might know our cosmetics database might not know about our farm subsidy database, and vice versa. But we really started out with farm subsidy work, and our motto is sort of is the power of information. So taking information that is there and making it accessible for people so that it can be used and change the policy conversation, increasingly in changing people's consumer decisions, which could end there or could then affect policy. And our farm subsidy database is really taking USDA data. It's information they have about farm subsidies that are distributed across the country to farmers. And we basically took that and put it in a very friendly online searchable database, and this is back when those weren't so common. And so now we can search for a lot of things sort of, you know, anytime we want to. But when we started doing this, that was less the case. But so you can put in your zip code and find out, you know, who gets what farm subsidies around you, and it really opened up a conversation around, are those the right people, and are we doing this the right way? So I think that's kind of our MO has been taking information that's very compelling and getting it out there in a way that people can understand, even if it's really complicated and wonky, and converting it into something that people who aren't not rocket scientists, but that just may not be their topic, can digest.
And, you know, there's no such thing anymore to me as the average consumer, but that's really what we're talking about. And what I think is so important when you said earlier in the conversation, it's my mission, too. I don't want to tell people how to think. I just want them to think. And if they're only getting one piece of information that's you know, metaphorically being fed to them, it's not always, in my experience, the most accurate of information. So I had no idea it was about agricultural subsidies, which we could have about six more shows on that.
Sure, absolutely.
And how it really, you know, it's not all clean and beautiful there on the Hill. So
But and I think to summarizing the like you just said, sort of the power of information is from the consumer angle is really the right to know. And then when you know, you can do with it what you want. But if you don't know, you can't. And so I think that's, for instance, when we've worked on cell phone radiation, and that's an issue with that, is that if you don't know how much radiation your phone emits, how can you choose a good one with less radiation if you want to? If you don't want to, don't read it,
right,
kind of thing. So that, and a lot of that involves working with industries to share more information than they traditionally have wanted to or been asked to.
I know the pressure's on because things are so transparent. I mean, the internet has its blessings and its curses, but for me, it is by far and away a blessing if you learn how to manage it. I didn't even put the things that you have done, the research you've done about cell phones, on into this conversation because to me, it's so vast, and I'm sure this will not be the last time EWG is on Mrs. Green's World.
Yeah.
But I'd like to focus a little bit on two areas that I think are critical. If there's time at the end, a little bit more. But Sure. It's time now where people are getting out, and as Janelle said, there's a lot here in Tucson, and anywhere I go visit, farmers markets are skyrocketing. People yes. are getting so much more aware. I say to people, just because it's from a farmers market, you have to figure out, you have to source it there also, and ask the. A lot of the farmers will say, "Well, no, this I got this from over the border," or "No, it's not organic. No, it's not pesticide free." Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, how did you decide when you moved into such a big focus on the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15? And I'd love you to talk about the vast amount of research that went into that, and ask you a couple of questions for from people that have questioned me about. Well, that doesn't really hurt human beings. I'm like, really?
Right, right, so. Absolutely. Well, we've been doing what we call now the Clean 15 and the Dirty Dozen for, I think this will be our fourth year when we come out with it, and it'll be in a couple weeks when we come out with our 2011 version. And again, this goes back a little bit to our farm subsidy databases.
Right, right.
The USDA is actually tracking pesticide residues on the most commonly eaten fruits and vegetables. So that's data that is with USDA. We basically ask for that data, and we convert it again into a way that's useful for people. So we rank the most popular fruits and vegetables in order of which ones have the most pesticide residues on them, so of conventional fruits and veggies. And there's two things involved in this, and I think there's two things involved in much of what we do. One is to raise consciousness for policy change. The second is to be a practical tool that you can use in the aisles when you're shopping. And I think one thing that's really terrific about the Shopper's Guide is that, as we all know, organic isn't as affordable as conventional often. It's not always available. Some of us live in places where it's everywhere you turn. Some of us live in places where it's pretty hard to track down. And it can always be a little expensive for some people's budgets. So the Shopper's Guide basically says, well, if you're going to buy conventional because you have to, you can't, you don't want to, et cetera, please focus on these. These are the ones with the
right,
most pesticides
right.
on them. So if you're going to buy some organic but not all, focus on the ones that matter the most. And so it's kind of a way of, I think it takes a bit of the elitism out of organic. It's not just for people who can spend that kind of money on their food. If you focus it, it can be for everyone.
And the other thing that I say, it's all about choices, because there is a budget. And if getting two Starbucks a week is in your budget, and you're reading stuff about the Environmental Working Group's research, you might say, well, I might go down to one Starbucks, but I'm buying organic celery and I'm going to buy mm-hmm. organic strawberries because that's in my budget if I move something else around. I feel that way about organic milk. And now
yeah.
that people are buying organic milk in quantity, we've seen the prices as a family go down and down and down because
yeah.
it's
yeah.
more
and become more available in places you might not have seen it 5 years ago.
Right,
as well. So it's accessible
it.
And the more affordable.
So
yeah, which is heartening to think that you really can sometimes vote with your fork and your wallet and make a difference. And not only in the fact that there's more offerings from manufacturers or farmers, but the policy folks then look and say, hey, look at that demand. The market's moving toward it. It's easier for us to do something now.
Okay, and I think it's important to add one of the things that's kind of, it might be a firm grasp on the obvious here, but another thing I like about the Environmental Working Group's website, all you're doing is reporting the information. You're not saying you should buy this, you should buy this. You're saying here's how many pesticides are in celery. You decide. Here are things that you can
yeah.
eat that you don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
And
well, people are pretty smart. I mean, people make choices all – I mean, think of how many consumer choices, maybe too many, that we make every day. And we all make them with these crazy factors in our heads, our budget, our children, our safety, our health, our
convenience,
our paycheck, our all these
right.
things. And we do it all day. So we figure if we can inject this easy information with maybe a wallet guide or an iPhone app so that when you're in the aisle – like I do this all the time. I love avocados. They're expensive, and they don't have a lot of pesticide residue. So when I'm looking at the grocery store and thinking, am I going to spend $3.50 on one, or am I going to spend $1.50 on one? I get my guide out and I say, maybe this is the time I can go conventional. And that is really, pesticide residues really are a health issue, for your body as opposed to an environmental issue, and they are separate. And some people care about one more than others. Some people care about both. I personally care about both, so I will sometimes err on the side of buying organic, even if it has low pesticide residue, just because my emphasis is on sort of the health of the soil and the fields and the farmers and the farm workers too. But that's not true for everyone. So
And we don't live in little boxes. And someone got involved in a conversation with me recently and said, well, they're pesticides. They don't hurt human beings. And I said, you know what? First of all, I can't go to the science of that because I'm not a scientist. Mm-hmm. I just disagree with you on the whole merit of the conversation. But the other thing is, I guarantee you the pesticides that are sprayed hurt the birds that eat the seeds that leach into the ground, that get into the groundwater, because there is scientific research when people just take the water out and measure it for what's going into our water supply. So that's another one I don't want to get started on. But so will celery be the number one for the Dirty Dozen
this
year?
I don't know if it will be again. They do shift around a little bit, and I think that to some degree is that farmers change maybe the type of pesticide they're using, you'll see that over and over, year after year, some of the same fruits and vegetables are kind of lurking at the top, and some of them lurk at the bottom because of the nature of the fruit and vegetable. Some are more porous and soak up more water, and some less. Some have skins, some don't. But I think, speaking a little bit, and I'm not a scientist either, we do have scientists on staff who do this research, but one thing that happened this week that I wrote about and got a little bit dug into was these three reports that came out about organophosphates, which is a type of pesticide. And so three different studies came out this week and all concluded the same thing, which often they don't, or they take years one after the other to kind of reach a conclusion. And they basically, they were looking at if women who are pregnant are consuming and affected by organophosphates during pregnancy, that it affects the IQ and memory of their children 6 to 9 years later. And they all said the same thing. So that's a pretty strong scientific analysis to come out all at one time. So, and that is just one particular kind of pesticide. But so I would say, you know, what we talk about sometimes is timing makes a big difference of exposure. Pregnancy is obviously, maybe not obviously to everyone, but it can be a very critical time for these things. And
it
we actually
be.
Came out, and in
Lisa,
this case, we did make a strong recommendation.
We've got to go to a really quick break.
I'm sure
everybody will want to stay tuned. Please stay here with me. Lisa Frack from the Environmental Working Group. Lots more great information to cover about your health. Mrs. Green's World, News Talk 790. We'll be right back.
News Talk 790, KNST.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green's World, News Talk 790 KNST. You can check anything out you hear on this show at my website, mrsgreensworld.com. Please sign up to follow me on Facebook and Twitter, because you will find out a lot of great information, current research about you and your health and the health of your family. So start following all of Mrs. Green's World, and you might get a little bit exhausted, but you'll be absolutely and positively well-informed. Our guest this afternoon for this next half hour is Lisa Frack from the Environmental Working Group in Washington, D.C. And off-air, we spoke a little bit, and it's just so poignant to me. Lisa said, I'm a lay person at the Environmental Working Group, and to me, that is so critical, because when people start speaking in scientific terms and using acronyms and get into a conversation where mainstream consumers are deer in the headlights, it doesn't work. There has to be a translation. And Lisa, is it fair to say that's one of your roles at EWG?
Yes, I think we have lots of people who are deep in the research, and that's their specialty, and I would even call them wonky, which I think is a compliment.
I
people,
like that word.
People we need crafting policy
a lot of
and
wonky
weighing
people.
In on policy, but they're not necessarily connected to the average person who's, I hate to use the word average person because I don't like it when it's used on me. So let me take that back.
I know what you mean.
The
though.
Non-wonky, non-policy expert person who does something else with their time.
Right.
But wants the information and can handle it and needs it, but not necessarily in the overly technical terminology that we're glad the scientists work in.
Right. So let's talk a little bit more about if people are going to make some organic choices for their vegetables, and then we can segue into so many of my listeners and my subscribers to my newsletter, they want to know more about tips for living in a healthy home, because that's where we spend a lot of our time. So we want to make sure that there's time on the show for you to cover that, because it certainly is an area of expertise for you.
Absolutely. And there's some easy tips to do too, which is great.
Okay.
I could go over quickly what's on our list, the Clean 15, the Dirty Dozen.
I'd love
that. If that seems helpful.
No,
and then also one
helpful.
Question you asked before was sort of about what is the problem with pesticides anyway? And for people who don't, you know, it's easy to say, oh, they're not natural, let's not eat them. But there's actually more to it than that. And I would say that, for one, we know they're in our bodies. We've done EWG and other groups and the CDC now, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control, do biomonitoring, and they find pesticides in our blood. So that's not in dispute that it's getting there. The question I find people still have is, so? Is that a problem or is it fine? And I would say that, you know, pesticides are toxic by design. What their goal is and the reason they exist is to kill living organisms, not humans, right? But
right.
Insects, plants, fungi, and they affect their nervous systems. And so they, and just because those are insects, plants, and fungi doesn't mean they're unlike us. So there have been plenty of studies over the years linking pesticide exposure to nervous system toxicity, cancer, hormone system effects, and then more minor things, but are very relevant for workers, especially skin, eye, and lung irritation. So they do affect us. And again, I mentioned the organophosphate study that just came out that for pregnant women, their children can be affected long term as far as IQ, memory, et cetera. So they're very real risks. They are still being studied, but
and the numbers, if you just look at the numbers of every type of autoimmune disease, the things that kids are affected by, I mean, I'm 60 years old, and I would say 40 years ago, when you talked about autism, that was like, oh, my goodness. And there are so many things to me that are absolutely, without a doubt, unequivocally, scientifically environmental, which is what we eat, what we breathe. I mean, it's like, don't.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I mean, the doctors are saying, too, like, there's more cancer than there was.
There was
what's going on.
Exactly.
And it's not, and it's very much being shown now that it's not necessarily hereditary. There are still some hereditary cancers, to be sure, but there are plenty that no one can make that link, so they're looking elsewhere now.
And younger people. I mean, my daughter was really upset because one of her friends died, and that friend is 32. And I've had friends whose children have died from pancreatic cancer. And I'm telling you, it didn't used to happen. So on an up note, let's talk about what we should and should
definitely.
Not
and here's some very easy ways to focus your organic choices. So the Dirty Dozen for 2010, and this will shift a little bit in the next coming weeks, the number one, the dirtiest, I suppose one could say, but with the most pesticide residues was celery.
And tell them how many. It's really pretty gross. I think it's like 17.
You know, I'd have to. I don't know the top of my head.
I wrote
don't
about
know the
that a
average
lot.
Number.
Okay, so go ahead. Celery.
But just back to one bright spot of why this is important. So you can lower your pesticide consumption by nearly 4/5, 80%, by avoiding the 12 most contaminated fruits and vegetables. So if you do make sure that the Dirty Dozen are on your organic list, you don't buy them conventional, you can reduce your pesticide consumption by 4/5.
That's
pretty
impressive.
Good for focusing on 12 organic items. You can accomplish a lot. So it starts with celery, and then number two, peaches, followed by strawberries, apples, blueberries, nectarines, bell peppers, spinach, cherries, kale, and collard greens, which are super healthy for many other reasons, as I think you all were discussing earlier in the show, potatoes, and imported grapes.
Okay, and people, you can find this out through me, or you can go to EWG.org and you can find it out. It's environmentalworkinggroup.org, actually.
Yep. And the Dirty Dozen Clean 15 site is a little bit separate. It's called foodnews.org, but you can get there by going through our main site, for
sure.
There's
a link. Okay.
So the cleanest one. So if you're thinking, I don't want to spend all my money on organic produce, what can I buy conventional that doesn't have much pesticides on it? The list is onions, avocado, and that comes back to my story where I still buy conventional avocados, sweet corn, pineapple, mangoes, sweet peas, asparagus, kiwi, cabbage, eggplant, cantaloupe, watermelon, grapefruit, sweet potato, and honeydew melon. Now, of course, I can't remember this when I'm in the store. A few of them pop for me in my memory when I'm walking in the aisles, but I do have a wallet guide, and I have, last year we gave out, and we might do it again this year, a bag tag to go on your reusable grocery bag, so it's always with you in the store, and then we have an iPhone app. So you can download that and at least just kind of flip it open and
did everybody
remind
hear
yourself.
That? There's an app for that. It's one of my favorite lines to use in my reading and writing. There's an app for that. So is our iHeartRadio. So this is important. We have it in our family. We have the list that we got from that we downloaded from the website, and it's in my purse. My husband is very much aware of it. So it's not very hard. You have to pull it out because if you're like me and like as you said, Lisa, you can't always remember. Okay, so that is the Clean 15 and the Dirty Dozen. In a couple of weeks, I'll be Twittering and Facebooking and when you have the new one out because I
get information. We'll be sure to share it.
Yes, and we want to talk about how people can follow your blog before we get off too. So we'll come back to that at the very end.
And one thing I think I should mention that is really important here is that, and this came up last year a bit, is that eating fruits and vegetables is, as again you talked about earlier in the show, is really important and really healthy, and we in America need to eat more of them. So we don't want people to be so scared by pesticides that they stop eating fruits and vegetables, because that's not a good thing.
And that
the pesticides have health effects, but fruits and veggies are great stuff, and you should eat them.
And from what important. I've just done on the research, very much very current for me this week. That would not be very smart, especially if they went to eating more meat, because
right.
there's a whole other story there.
Yes, that's a whole other story, exactly.
That's a healthy choice.
Another place you can save money, too,
yes.
is eating less meat and more high-quality meat. It's a good trade-off money-wise.
Absolutely right. And when things are in season, especially at our farmers markets, they're not more expensive than the grocery store. I mean, they're really
right.
not, because it's in season. I always know when kale is in season. And for us, fortunately, there's a lot of inexpensive avocado season here in the Southwest. But I
right.
know when I go back east, my sister will be like $3 for an avocado. Like, really? That's really deep in the heart
right.
of winter. Okay,
right.
so safety for food, safety for our families and our children in terms of what we eat. Let's talk a little bit about a huge area of expertise for you is how to create a healthy home, simple things to do, easy things to do. And I always make the argument, things that will save you money. Lots of homemade recipes that people can do, things that I'm using that are back to what my mother used to use, like vinegar mm-hmm. and baking soda. So what are some of your favorite things to share with consumers about healthy home?
Well, we put together a list, actually. We thought one thing that EWG is good for is knocking our heads together and coming up with a priority list, so because you can't do it all, so where you can really focus your energy. So what we came up with was kind of a top 10 list. And it starts with choosing better body care products, which we can talk a little bit about later, but looking at your label and knowing what you're picking in your bathroom cabinet, more or less, whether that's your toothpaste or your makeup or
deodorant,
your baby bubble bath.
Right.
Going organic and eating fresh foods. And one reason to eat fresh foods is because then you're not eating canned foods, and most cans, not all these days, do contain bisphenol A in the can lining, and it does leach into the food. That's been tested, and it does leach into your body. And the science is showing that it is an endocrine disruptor, and your endocrine system is not something that you want to disrupt. And so you can accomplish a lot by eating fresh foods. Avoiding fire retardants, and that's a lot to do with furniture and foam. So one thing you can do is when you go to buy a new couch, ask whether the foam is treated or not. And if you have furniture, is looking at them to make sure that the covering still fits, that you don't have foam kind of hanging out, because the foam is treated with flame retardants. It's a kind of outdated, overly strong, I think, California law.
Right.
Technical Bulletin 117, and because California is the big state that it is, the whole country makes to their standards. So, you know, your couch, your stuffed chair, that's most of it.
But it's counterintuitive to me, because it's a high standard, yes, but then it doesn't make sense for me to California to have that standard when, in fact, they are supposedly on the cutting edge of environmental regulations.
Right.
It's like,
right.
Okay.
Well, it's an old law, too. I think
right,
it was passed
right.
at a time when people were smoking more often, and that was really the impetus for it, is that the standard, I think, is that your furniture has to not burn for 12 seconds if a flame is held directly to it.
Right.
So it's outdated, I would say. And when they do tests of flame retardants in people's bodies, California has the highest.
And didn't they used to have them on drapes? I mean, they would spray them on drapes.
Yes.
So that's another thing where it's on the couch and it's
yes.
on your
– Yeah, if people – when you buy a piece of furniture, people say, hey, do you want it sprayed? I would say, at the very least, ask, what are you spraying it with? And usually I would suggest, don't. Just say no.
Right.
Because typically
right.
it's not going to have something in it that's going to be healthy for you to be breathing in.
Okay, so we have
asking is always a great way.
We have the top two. We're going to go to a quick break.
Okay.
Everybody will want to stay tuned. Stay here with me. Lisa Frack from the Environmental Working Group talking about healthy tips for the home. Nationally recognized environmental blogger. You're listening to Mrs. Green's World News Talk 790 KNST. Stay here with me.
790KNST.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green's World, News Talk 790 KNST, where we're having a wonderful, informative, very on-purpose interview with Lisa Frack from the Environmental Working Group in Washington, D.C. And just a little shout-out, please go to mrsgreensworld.com, Follow me on Facebook and Twitter. I frequently publish information in my blog about EWG and send a lot of posts on the Facebook community because it's something that the world really needs to know about. And we're talking about healthy tips for the home, which I think every consumer who is not sleeping or brain dead cares about living in a healthy environment in their home and are not aware of the environmental hazards that are absolutely we're living and breathing every day. So we got through two. Let's start on, you want to just recap the both of them really quickly and start on number three, Lisa?
Absolutely. Sure. Number one was choosing better body care products, paying attention to what's in them, looking at your ingredient lists. Number two, go organic and eat fresh foods. Three was avoiding fire retardants. Number four is pick your plastics carefully. We can't avoid them all necessarily, but you can do a cleanse of the ones that are most problematic. And we would suggest that you skip the ones that are marked with a 7 and with a 3. There are, again, some that are better than others. In the kitchen, microwaving glass, storing in glass isn't as important. Microwaving because of the heat is. Keep in mind, heat and plastic are not the best combination. You should invest in some Pyrex. Very easy way to get around some of the plastics. But again, heat and plastic aren't the
now,
best combination.
Pyrex,
combo.
And it doesn't matter about the plastic lid because it should not be touching the food
right,
anyway.
You would microwave okay. with the lid off. Oh,
right,
and if you feel
right.
the need to put something on top of your food to microwave it, I don't, but some people do think of maybe wax paper or a paper towel.
And you know what my husband does? He puts another plate on top of it. He'll just put a
perfect.
Plate. So it's
right,
really
and then the plate is warm.
That plate is warm. That's right. So that's
two
what
birds,
we do.
Two birds. And one thing about plastics, too, is you think about your water bottle. You want to make sure that that does not have BPA in it. A lot of them used to, and the market has really responded well, and a lot of them don't contain it anymore. But the ones that are really hard are polycarbonate. So if you can flick it with your finger and it's kind of a very stiff plastic, it's probably polycarbonate. So anyway, pick a good water bottle. We recommend stainless steel ones. We really like a lot, and there's new ones out that are glass. And then for some people that might sound like a breaking hazard, they do have those ones with the silicone wrapper, I think, on them. But anyway, glass and stainless steel, we recommend them over and over and over again because they've been sort of tried and true.
And I am borderline boring about it. I harp on it, harp on it, harp on it. To me, public enemy number one is plastic bags, and public enemy number two are plastic bottles. And we can, I always say to people, we can have this one. Like, we can get it. We
right,
don't have
right.
to do this.
Without a big inconvenience. And sometimes
and
that
it's
is the
cheaper.
Barrier. Is,
it's
well,
really
well, can we still do the same stuff without these things?
Right.
And
right.
I think for us at Environmental Working Group, you can divide plastics into single use and then the other kind. And if you just focus on those single use ones and figure out a way around those, the coffee cup that you bring of your own, the plastic water bottle that's reusable, or the stainless steel that you bring of your own, and your own grocery bag, just those three things. You can knock off a lot of the single-use plastics.
And that's a really good, easy, simple way to think about it. Okay, so
yeah.
then what next?
So number five, filter your tap water. We love tap water. We're not so keen on bottled water, but you need to know what's in your tap water and filter it if you need to. So that there's just two steps, and we have kind of a nice guide on our page where we have a database where you can type in your zip code, look up. We sort of put together data that exists from public water suppliers around the country. They're all required by law to report what's in them. They do testing regularly. We compiled that all in one place. You enter your zip code, and it'll tell you what's in your water. It's a
where
good thing to know.
Where is that on your website?
Sometimes it's fine. Sometimes not so fine.
Right. Where is that on the website?
I believe it's ewg.org/tapwater. Let me
okay.
I can kind
okay.
of look it up right now.
Okay. Because I have not looked at that. And to me, being able to put the zip code in, that's really
– yeah.
Everybody wants to know that who's listening.
Yeah, and you can get it from your own. You can call up your, it's ewg.org/tap-water.
Okay, got it.
And we upgrade it. I mean, every year or two we release a new one because the data changes. But so you can't get a filter if you don't know what you want to filter out. And that's for some people that's hard. Now, the Britas of the world is a carbon filter. It's a pretty good place to start.
That's
you
what
may have
I was going to ask you about Brita. Is that because that's what my daughter uses in L.A. And
mm-hmm.
we get our water out of the refrigerator door. So I
yep. And that's typically the refrigerators typically offer a carbon filter,
right.
which is a good catch-all. But if you know a specific contaminant you have, like say chromium 6, which is something we just tested for back in December around the country, the carbon filter may not do it. And
not,
so if you
get it out.
If
okay.
you really have a specific, and then it depends. Are you a homeowner? Are you not? Do you want to bore a hole in your countertop? Do you not? So we have a great guide that just sort of says, what do you care about? How much do you want to spend? What's in your water? here's the things to think about to find a water filter that's going to do the trick and fit your requirements,
okay,
whether
that's
they be kitchen
great.
Requirements or wallet requirements or your standards for clean water.
Okay.
Let me go back to this. Okay, so filter your tap water, and I would say along with that is skip the bottled water. It's expensive. It's single-use plastic. A lot of people sometimes get wooed into thinking it's actually better than tap water, when what we've proven with some testing is that
over and over
and
over again. Right, right.
And it is tap water often. So some people do it for convenience, and I would say bring that reusable. You know, you can even bring your reusable to the airport. They'll let you do it as long as you empty it for security.
And fill it up on the other side. Absolutely. Okay.
So next, wash those hands. You don't need to use antibacterials in the house. They have their place in hospitals, but they don't need to be in your home. The American Medical Association has said that too. We recommend that you just wash with soap and water.
Good old soap and water
and cheaper,
less containers. No, it's another one that I've written about. It's like we don't need it, and in fact, what the AMA says, it does kill good bacteria in the home.
Mm-hmm.
It has a downside, right.
Not just downside. Is it missing an upside, but it has
right,
a downside.
Right.
And then there's the single-use plastic containers, which is a different issue and one that really matters to some people. But when we're talking about environmental health, triclosan is something that is a pesticide, and it's an ingredient you find in many, many antibacterial soaps on bathroom sinks. And so you don't want to use triclosan. You don't need a pesticide on your hands.
That's right. Another one.
Number seven, skip the nonstick. So nonstick cookware is very convenient. It can be tempting. It's everywhere. But when you heat it, what it does is it takes this sort of Teflon-ish coating. That's just one brand. But it takes a coating that's made of perfluorinated chemicals. And when it gets heated, they would get released into the air and you breathe them. This is the famous one that kills birds, and it does. It doesn't kill us, but it's not good for us to breathe in. So,
now,
and the danger is when you overheat, the temperature at which it starts to emit toxic fumes is in question, but it's around 500 degrees.
There any safe, healthy, like if a brand says eco-friendly coating?
Right. You know, we have not studied them.
Okay.
I wish I could answer that. There's a ton of them on the market now. They've gotten wind of the fact that many people would prefer to not use nonstick. But what we keep coming up with is cast iron is great and stainless steel is great.
Okay.
And like you referred to your grandma, you know, it's kind of going back to these basic items. And some of the new ones, they might be fine. But the Environmental Working Group, has not tested them, so we can't say.
And all my mother cooked in, she was the master. And she would actually season her cast iron skillets.
Right.
She would
there's how-tos on that.
Yes, it's like that's how we grew up in nonstick pans. She couldn't stand them. So that's
right.
a great
right.
one for us to be aware of. Okay.
Yeah, and it's an easy one. I mean, it could be expensive. You don't need to rush home and throw them all out and go buy new ones. But when you're looking to buy that new pan or give that wedding present, you know, investing in a fabulous Lodge cast iron skillet for someone or yourself.
And they are
good idea.
They are in, like, one of my clients that I work with a lot is Goodwill. You would be surprised at
right.
the number
yes.
of cast iron skillets you can find in
yeah.
resale stores, because people think they're so yesterday. Well, hopefully they're so tomorrow.
Right. Yes, absolutely. They're heavy, but they're a good alternative. And then I would say here's number eight is use a HEPA filter vacuum, which is just basically an Uber vacuum. And it just filters everything better. And the reason to do that is because your dust tends to be full of toxics like flame retardants, because whatever particulates are floating around your house land in your dust. So I would say dust often, vacuum often. If you can, and again, you know, don't need to hurl your current vacuum cleaner out the window and rush off and buy a HEPA filter vacuum. But next time you buy one, be a good idea.
And does it say that on, when you purchase it? Will it say that this is the kind of filter that it
yes.
has? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's HEPA, HEPA?
HEPA, and that stands for something that I can't think of
okay.
off the top of my
head.
But
that's good. It's easier. We wouldn't remember anyway. So
HEPA
filter.
Right.
Okay.
I think you get to, I like the Uber vacuum. It just feels like it just really vacuums when you're at it. And why not? You know, if you're going to vacuum it, might as well really do a good job. And if you're allergic, it could be a good idea for that alone, you know, if you have dust allergies and that kind of thing. And then another thing is to, very simple, prevent it. Leave your shoes at the door, because then you're not dragging your outdoor pollutants inside.
That is a habit I do not have. And this is the first, not the first time I've heard it, but you're taking everything in that you walked outside.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
From the outside
yep.
in. Okay. All right. That is really an inexpensive tip to follow.
Yeah. And you get that good, that nice natural doormat too. Wipe your shoes and leave them on the inside. Then number 10, use greener cleaners and avoid pesticides. So avoiding pesticides, there's the question of inside and outside. If you're a gardener, you know, then you have choices out there. How do you deal with your pests? Of course, there's organic methods to find and to not be putting them in your yard. And then inside, killing bugs, if you have ants and that kind of thing. This is going to depend on where you live in the country, because if you live in a place without bugs, it's very easy to say, hey, no problem. But people
right,
who
right.
live in places with bugs might not find that so easy to stomach, and I understand that. But I'd say there are alternatives. Investigate them. Having pesticides in your home, especially if you have kids whose nervous systems are developing still.
And they're crawling around on the ground.
It's important.
They're putting
right.
things
they're,
in their mouth that were on the floor. I mean,
putting things in their mouths.
Yes.
And I do get ants periodically, and cayenne pepper works like a charm. So, and I don't have other big bugs that I might feel differently about. And I do have a dad who lives in Florida, and he sprays up a storm, whatever I say to him. So
very different story. And
yeah,
there are a lot
definitely.
Of more eco-friendly pest control companies that are evolving all over the place.
Yes, they're definitely, and they're meeting a need.
That's right. Now, we have about one more minute, and I'd love to do a shout-out for you about how people can follow you, about the name of your blog, about the name of the website. So
absolutely.
That there is
that's fantastic. So we have a blog called enviroblog.org, and we also have one called AgMag, which is for the farming agricultural policy wonks out there. We're on Facebook at ewg.org, and then we have a brand-new Facebook page for all you cosmetics and personal care products folks who use Skin Deep, which is our cosmetics database. And it's facebook.com/ewg.skindeep. And we're very interactive on those sites,
Lisa,
too. So, Annette,
thank you so much. And as I tell everyone, anything that you just said, they can go info@MrsGreensWorld, contact me to contact you. Have a wonderful rest of Earth Month. Thank you and everybody there for what they're doing and for taking time on Saturday to be interviewed by Mrs. Green.
And it was our pleasure. Thank you again for having us.
And listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to Mrs. Green's World. And we'll be back next week live from Children's Museum Tucson. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter for all of the latest updates on you and your health. Thanks so much, Mrs. Green, News Talk 790 KNST. Happy Earth Month.
You've been listening to Mrs. Green's World on News Talk 790 KNST, all about learning that going green can be fun. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and tune in next Saturday at noon for Mrs. Green's World on News Talk 790 KNST.